I'm so happy at this time to be able to turn the podium over to Brother Tim Cooper of Portland, Oregon. And his subject is friendship. Friendship. Brother Tim, may the Lord be with you. Thank you. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17:17. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:14. Two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his friend. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Do you know what a friend is? You'd better know what a friend is, because the term a friend is one of the language labels given to a relationship between two individuals. That label describes how they act, how they feel, how they behave toward each other, how they regard each other. That relationship called friends is one of the many descriptions of the relationship between the members of the Bride of Christ. That's one reason why it's so important. In John the 15th chapter, very near to the end of our Lord's life, John 15:15, Jesus said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." And in the third book of John, verse 14, we see that the disciples did not lose the significance of this new label. 3 John, verse 14, in John's farewell, this last verse, he says, "Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name." The Greek word for friend is philo, number 5384. It means to cherish, to be fond of, to be dear. And of course you recognize philos as one of the Greek words translated love. We usually use the form philio. Might more accurately be translated friend or friendship. Knowing the incredible and the ultimate importance of the development of love as part of our new creature, we see that this philos, this friendship, as a very important step in achieving that goal. It's a little like this morning's manna text. One small step can help us achieve our ultimate goal. So one of the ways of increasing your love, one of the ways of increasing your capacity for love, for your expression of love, is to first increase your friendship. First, be a friend. And that will then grow into love. Increase your capacity for friendship. Increase your expression of friendship. Now, we use the term friend and the friends a lot. The friends in Portland send you their greetings. It's nice to be with the friends. The friends back home are studying. I wonder why the friends did that. The friends in Poland. The friends in Japan. Any time a phrase is used or a word is used that much, there's always the risk of losing the real meaning, the deep meaning, the true meaning. Because there are all kinds of friends. Close friends, intimate friends, bosom friends, good friends, best friends, devoted friends, faithful friends, trusted friends, inseparable friends, distant friends, false friends, fair weather friends, former friends. True friendship has requirements. There's a recipe. There are ingredients to friendship. And because there are all kinds of friends, and because of the scriptural use of this term, the spirit mind is very interested in friendship. We are to be a friend of Jesus. We are to be a friend of God. Do you know what a friend is? Yes, we'd better know what a friend is. And we should work at being better friends. Scientists tell us that friendship has an actual physical effect on the human mind and body. They say that people without friends get sick more often. They say that statistics show that people without friends have 5 to 10 times the rate of mental hospitalization. People without friends have 2 to 3 times the overall risk of dying than those of their age group. People without friends have more cancer, more infection, increased rates of all illnesses. People without friends have more depression, lose more time from work, have more accidents. These are rather hard, cold statistics. But if it's true in the natural biological world, wouldn't it be true in the spiritual realm? There is real impact to being without a friend or not knowing how to be a friend. If we translate those statistics into Bible student terminology, we would say that a Bible student without friends has increased rates of spiritual illness, increased rates of spiritual depression, increased rates of spiritual complications. So in the spiritual world in which we are striving to live, it is of utmost importance who are our friends, how we are friends, and are we being better friends? To explore this topic, I would like to discuss 3 friends of God, all from the book of Genesis. The greatest accolade of friendship ever given to a man was given to Abraham. This man, we are told, was a friend of God. This is recorded in James, the 2nd chapter. In verses 21 through 23, speaking of Abraham, James says, "And Abraham was called the friend of God." It's also in Isaiah 41st chapter, verse 8, God speaking says, "Abraham, my friend." And it's also in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. What an incredible relationship to be called a friend of God. His life, Abraham's life, had important elements that made possible that relationship, that made possible the friendship. Those same elements are required in any relationship if the individuals are to be friends. As always, there's a list. Different words could be used. I've summarized a list of seven elements, seven required elements for friendship. If you have only one or two of these required elements between two individuals, it's not enough for a solid friendship. Two or three make for a casual friendship. Five or six make good friends. And if you have all seven, and if you have them to any significant degree, then you're the best of friends. Number one, share. You must share common ideas. You must share some activities, some interests. You must share some preferences if you're going to be friends. Number two, understand. You must understand each other. You must communicate. Three, respect. You must consider the other person worthy of esteem, that the other person has value. You must believe that there's something good in that other person. Four, trust. You must believe the person is honest, not two-faced, not a hypocrite. Five, accept. You must accept them for what they are. You can't try to change them. You can't try constantly to improve them or make them like yourself. And acceptance has tolerance for error. Six, loyalty and support. Loyalty means you look out for each other. You're constant, faithful. Support is loyalty in action. You are ready to help. And seven, and you notice that there's almost a progression. In other words, you can't get to number five until you've kind of gone through one, two, and three. And seven is kind of a growing result of the first elements. Friends learn from each other. They learn from each other, and in a way they teach each other. Because of the first elements, they're open, they're receptive to each other, they improve by their association, they grow, they expand, they develop. Because of their friendship, they become more fulfilled. Now it's easy to relate those seven elements to the details of Abraham's life. Despite the tremendous gap between the ultimate being in the universe and Abraham, the same seven elements required of any friendship were present. What did Abraham share with God? They both loved righteousness. They both loved mercy. They both loved justice. Their principles were the same. Their interests were the same. Their values were the same. They shared the vision of a better day. They shared standards of righteousness. They shared a standard of separation from the world. One of the instances is in Genesis, the 12th chapter. We see in the first three verses that it is because of this agreement in principle that Abraham left his heathen homeland. Another thing they shared, and maybe this is the greatest thing they shared, was the promise of blessing. God gave Abraham that incredible promise of blessing And they shared that promise from that day on. Even later in Abraham's life, in the 24th chapter of Genesis, we see still in Abraham's life a zeal for righteousness, for godliness, for separation from the world. So first there was the foundation of sharing, but then it was also necessary that the second element be there. God and Abraham had to understand each other. They had to speak the same language in a spiritual sense. They had to communicate. There were messages sent back and forth. Words were understood. The intent was always clear. The message sent was always the message received. There was no misunderstanding. There was no mistranslation. There was no misinformation. This understanding is evident in Genesis 15. This is where they started to discuss and understand the seed of promise. Abraham didn't fully understand at first. His understanding started at the Eliezer level. That's what he thought the seed would be. In Genesis 17, the dialogue continues about the seed. And then Abraham grew to an understanding level of the Ishmael seed. But then the communication finally got to a level, the understanding got to a level of the Isaac seed. And as communication grows, friendship grows. And in Genesis 18, verses 22 through, starting in verse 22, we have that incredible dialogue, that incredible communication where Abraham speaks to God. Dare I say, Abraham debates with God over the destruction of Sodom. Nowhere in the literature of the human race is there a more eloquent dialogue between a mortal man and the highest ruler of the universe. Not in the Greek literature, not in the Babylonian literature, not in any literature of the Western civilization is there such a communication. Abraham says, if there be 40 righteous, he says this to God, if there be 40 righteous, will you spare Sodom? If there be 20 righteous, would you save Sodom? Genesis 18:32. Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I speak but this once more. If there be 10 righteous. You know, only friends can talk like that to each other. And they respected each other. Element number 3. In Genesis 18:17, God speaks. He says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Now, respect means that the other, you believe the other is worthy of dealing with. The other person has value. There's something good about the other person. And friends do not hide things from their friends. A friend will tell you everything. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Number 4 is they trusted each other. Abraham trusted God with the life of his son. Genesis 22. And God trusted Abraham with the most incredible promise ever made. Genesis 22:16. And element number 5 is my favorite. It's acceptance. This may be the biggest key to any friendship. In this case of Abraham and God, they accepted each other. Again, the highest being in the universe. And a nomad, a man who wandered the deserts. Abraham accepted God for just what he was. He didn't try to make him like the heathen gods. He didn't try to make him a multiple god, or a god of stone, or a sun god. He accepted God. And God did the same. Abraham was a herdsman. He didn't try to make him a pharaoh. Accept the person for what they are, and not what you want them to be. And acceptance doesn't mean accept their noble qualities. That doesn't take any acceptance. Acceptance means accept their weaknesses. No matter how repulsive you find their weakness. Number six was loyalty and support. Abraham was loyal all his life. From the time in Genesis 22 where he offered Isaac, right to the end. And God was loyal to Abraham through his life, beyond his life, to his seed, to countless generations. They supported each other. Abraham was God's ambassador. It says in Genesis 21, verse 22, that all the surrounding nations knew who Abraham's God was. And they said, God is with you in all you do. Abraham was a good ambassador. He was loyal. He supported God. God supported him physically, emotionally, miraculously. Number seven is learning from each other. And it's difficult to imagine, it's impossible really, that God can learn from any man. And yet, there was something close to that. Abraham was a free moral agent. He was creative. He came up with new ideas. He argued with his friend. And despite God's foreknowledge, Abraham was not a robot. God watched him, accepted him, delighted in his daily efforts. So because of the presence of these elements, these seven elements, something then took place. Something happened between these two. It crystallized into something we call a friendship. And there developed one additional element. It's an element of caring, emotion, feeling, affection. Philos. They were friends. Did you notice that friendship is not owning the other person? God didn't own Abraham. He wasn't a puppet. God shared Abraham. He shared him with angels. He shared Abraham with his family, even with worldly contacts. Abraham didn't own God. It wasn't exclusive. He shared God with his family, with worldly contacts. There was no exploitation. There was no continual asking for favors. Again, there was respect for the other person's time, their individuality, their personhood. Abraham and God were good friends. They were the best of friends. Abraham had a grandson, Jacob. He is our second example of friendship. Jacob had a lengthy relationship with God. Sometimes we only remember his purchase of the birthright for a bowl of pottage. But Genesis is filled with the activities of Jacob. Jacob was a different personality. The later writers, the biblical historians, did not give him the label friend of God. But he was. Maybe a little different kind of friend. And I think in this, there's a there's a big lesson. Being friends does not make you identical. And one person can have different kinds of friends whose personalities and characteristics greatly contrast. You can have tall friends and short friends. You can have intellectual friends and physical friends. In the truth, you can have friends who have been in the way many years, and you can also have friends who are novices. God was still Jacob's friend, even though Jacob was half the man that Abraham was. And because you have other kinds of friends and new friends, doesn't mean that you forsake the old friends. And by the same token, because you see someone get a new friend, doesn't mean you should feel abandoned. We must increase our capacity for friendship. As we look at Jacob's life, in the 28th chapter of Genesis, we see one of the recordings of a dream where God gave him a great blessing. He too, through his seed, would be part of the promised blessing. In the 18th verse of that 28th chapter, Jacob built a memorial. Jacob made a vow. He said that he would build a house at Bethel for the Lord. He promised he would give God 10%. In the 30th verse of that same 28th chapter, it tells us of the great increase of Jacob's flocks. God blessed him. In the 31st chapter of Genesis, in verse 3, Jehovah sends Jacob back to his homeland with the promise, "I will be with you." In the 24th verse of the 31st chapter, Genesis 31:24, Laban is worried, is warned by God not to hurt his friend Jacob. And in verse 42 of the same chapter, Jacob admits, "If God had not been with me, I would be empty-handed." In chapter 32, verse 2, the angels are sent to Jacob. There's a prayer. There's a reiteration of the original promise in verse 12. And then in verse 24, Jacob wrestles with an angel. It's almost like arguing with God. In verse 28, his name is changed to Israel. In verse 30, Jacob says, "I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And Jacob must have done a good job in raising Joseph because of the qualities that we later see in Joseph. He loved Joseph. He loved Joseph as a man loves his only son. And don't think that God missed that point. God knew what it was like to love an only son. Did you see the elements of friendship in Jacob's life? The sharing of the family heritage, the sharing that his grandfather was God's friend. Jacob understood the promise. As far as respect, I didn't see at first that God respected Jacob. But as I looked at it some more, I believe that God did respect Jacob. He saw inherent qualities. He looked past Jacob's flesh. Now Jacob, as far as trust goes, he trusted a little bit more in the arm of flesh. Jacob trusted a little bit more in bribery. But there was still trust in God. And the acceptance by God is even more incredible in the case of Jacob because of Jacob's immaturity. We get the impression sometimes that Jacob was materialistic. He was almost deceitful in some of his dealings. The loyalty was unquestioned. And as he grew older, Jacob's support increased. He too was an ambassador. He raised his children with the fear of God. He was the founder of the nation of Israel. Jacob learned a lot from his friend God. And all these also added up to caring affection to the emotion of a friendship. In chapter 46, near the end of Jacob's life, this is after Joseph has come back from Egypt, has been reunited with his family. God speaks in verse 2 of chapter 46, and it reads, "And God spake unto Israel." We remember that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. "In the visions of the night, and God said, Jacob, Jacob, fear not." He called him Jacob. That was his old name. That was his name when they first met and talked. It was like two old friends saying goodbye. They had their arms around each other. This was the last time they spoke. And God said, "Jacob, Jacob." Jacob didn't forget God either. In the 48th chapter, when he was dying, in verse 14, he was blessing his children. And as he came to Joseph's son, he was supposed to bless the oldest son. But he didn't. He gave the foremost blessing to the younger son. And this was his way of saying to his friend God that he never forgot that he, Jacob, was also a younger son. And that he was not supposed to get the blessing, but God had given it to him. He was not the firstborn, yet he had been chosen. Do you notice what kind of a friend God is? Jacob was half the man his grandfather was, but God was still his friend. That's a good lesson. Abraham was a superstar. Jacob was ordinary in a lot of respects. But God was a friend to each because he saw, he felt, he understood enough of those seven elements to be a friend of Jacob. Do we have a tendency to only want to be friendly to the superstars? That's a natural tendency. We have to look beneath the surface. We have to scratch beneath the surface to see those required elements for friendship. So friendship has responsibilities in two directions. Number one is a friendship with God. And number two is friendship with God's friends. How good a friend are we? On the list of elements of friendship, where are we weak in a relation with a specific person? Is it that we don't trust them? Are we not loyal? Do we not accept them? And I suspect that a failure to be a friend to God's friends will strain our friendship with even God. We need to know what a friend is, because there are all kinds of friends. Close friends, intimate friends, good friends, the best of friends. But alas, there are also fair weather friends, distant friends, false friends, former friends. One of the saddest situations is a former friend. People change. And as each changes in his or her own way, the basis of friendship changes. The seven elements change. You go to a high school reunion. You see your best friend from high school. And you say, "We have nothing in common." You see someone you used to know, and you come away saying, "We had nothing to talk about. Nothing to share. So the understanding lessens. The trust goes down. The loyalty goes down. The support stops. Now, if that happens with the world, it's good. Because friendship with the world, James tells us, is enmity with God. But if it happens with our brethren, it's not good. Possibly it's only a communication lack. But sometimes one of the parties violates the agreement. The trust is broken. There's a refusal to accept. There's an act of disloyalty. These are the ingredients for the condition called former friends. One of the greatest friendships, the one that had an incredible potential, that degraded into a former friendship, was Adam's friendship with God. In Genesis, the second chapter and the third chapter, we see that Adam was placed in a beautiful garden. He wasn't put on a street corner. He wasn't put in a vacant lot. And he was given trees, not only for food, but trees pleasant to the sight. He was given a helpmate, and he was allowed to name the animals. These were all acts of God's friendship. And the scripture in Genesis 3, verse 8, implies that they spoke regularly to each other. But Adam's friendship with Eve was greater than his friendship with God. And the relationship between Adam and God changed. It became tarnished. And finally, there was a separation. But even so, God still offered acts of friendship. After the expulsion, he gave them garments of skin. He gave them the promise again. He gave them the birth of Seth. You see, Adam had insufficient grounds, insufficient ingredients in the friendship formula. He didn't have enough understanding. He didn't trust. He wasn't loyal. So he lost a friend. Fighting outside the garden, fighting the thorns and the thistles, and tilling the cursed ground that didn't compare to the agony, to the sickening feeling in the pit of his stomach of having lost communication with God. Adam lost his best friend. In a spiritual sense, we have the same risk. If there's inadequate trust, if there's failure to keep our understanding and our communication, if we should ever lapse into disloyalty, if there's less than a complete sharing of everything we have, if we fail to learn, we too could be in jeopardy. God accepts us for just what we are. He's not asking for perfection. He just wants effort. He wants a little improvement. And he's looking for those lists. He's looking for the elements on that list. He doesn't expect you to be an Einstein or a superstar. He just wants you to be a friend. And how can I say just a friend when this concept of friendship is so beautiful and so complete? And besides being friends with God, as the prospective body members, we are all worthy of friendship. This auditorium here is filled with friends. I have all kinds of friends here. Old friends, family friends, lifetime friends, good friends, best friends. I also have some casual friends, some distant friends, and if I'm not careful, I may have some former friends. I know that unless I develop in myself perfect love, agape love, I will not be found worthy of the prize of the high calling. It's not just required that I develop love for the world, but I must have love for my brethren. But I can't just jump to the level of agape love. I don't know how to get to the high level of agape love. Not in one giant step. But what I think I can do, and what I'm going to try to do, is be a better friend. And step by step, I will learn to love. I know that we share things together. We share precious things. I want to understand you better. I want to respect you more. I want to trust you, regardless of anything that's happened in the past. I want to accept you. I want to support you. And I want to learn from you. My dear friends, let us keep ever present in our minds not only the potential relationship of friendship that we have with God, as illustrated by Abraham, Jacob, and Adam, and not only that to be members of the body of Christ we must be God's friend, but with each other. Let us put some depth, let us put some feeling into our friendship. Express it more, be more loyal, supportive, trusting, accepting. Let us put some real meaning into the word friend and into the expression, the friends. The friends in Portland send you their love. I'm glad to see my friend Richard here. It's nice to see the friends from the Midwest and from back east. Pray for all the friends. I hope the friends get something out of this talk. Let's be friends. Be a friend of God.
My friend, our friend, we'll ask Brother Tim to dismiss this session with a prayer.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We are most grateful for the gift of your Son and for the hope of our calling. We ask your Father that you would fill us with your Spirit more and more, that we might be found acceptable. Help us grow closer to each other in the bonds of Christian love. And we are mindful, we are first thankful for these blessings, and we are mindful of our brethren scattered the world over who are not as fortunate as we are. We thank you for all these things and pray for your continuing presence with us in the Master's name. Amen.